I'm like, okay, so the question was raised in the last Chabura, how to define mamashos in the context of what may not constitute a chatzitza, and the machlokas achronim called the machlokas etaz, the shaf versus sidrei tara, whether you have to be machmir that something's only not a chatzitza if it's both noi and this chazusa ba'alma, or is one of those reasons partition. So it's important to understand what chazusa or mamashos is in this context. And we were struggling a little bit last time to put it into precise terms. I'm not sure if we'll do a better job now, but at least to attempt. So on the one hand, the Taz in Sifat and Yudzayin that quoted the Rokeach about the woman whose hands were blackened upon exiting the mikvah because of the soot that was embedded on the wall of the mikvah. So the term that the Taz quotes is eino ella lichluch ba'alma. That blackness is only lichluch ba'alma. And that's in the context of not having having mamashes. And we know Dio, which is Sif Tesva, which is a Mishnah, presumably does have mamashes. So I saw Rav Nissen Karelitz in the Chut Shani has the following attempted definition. Gather Darish Eimba Mamish in a Chotitz Hu, Shlomikar Aide Hamishosh. Something that you can't feel if you run your fingers over it, it doesn't feel any different. That's considered ein bo mamish. The alpha pisha called davar yesh bo eisa shir shalamashis. Obviously, everything in the world has a certain degree of mamashis. Nikamakam and lo nirgash klal, if you don't feel it, ani misyachsim lezeh kedavar she ein bo mamish, that's considered ein bo mamish. So if you don't feel it, so if you run your hands over something and you feel that there's a different consistency, that presumably, according to this definition, is called mamashis. If you run your hands over that area and it doesn't feel any different, that would be eino mamashis. So we'll just see how that fits into some of the cases that I want to talk about. Rav Moshe, in that piece in the Torah, L'Rav, Volume Zion, that we referenced last time, writes about the women who were getting stains on their hands from the typewriter ink that dates the tshuva, and they would remove it with some kind of benzyne solution, and then there'd still be a little bit of residue of that stain on the skin. So Rav Moshe said that's an example of something that's only chazusa ba'alma. Whatever was there, you did your best to remove. There's a little bit of residue, but that doesn't have any mamashes. That's considered chazusa ba'alma. Or Rav Moshe writes over there that hair dye. You dye your hair and then you do the proper chafifa and there's still some coloration left. So that's something that's considered emro mamashis. The Shari Tzvila writes about it also in Siman Mem Daled. Hair dye is an example of something that's emro mamashis. That presumably fits with this definition of Rav Nissen Karelitz, that those are things that you don't feel. If you run your hand over it, it doesn't feel any different than a similar area of the body that doesn't have that stain. Ritzik has a friend, has a tshuva in Yeridea Simen Kuf Samech Gimel. Yeridea Simen Kuf Samech Gimel. Regarding an iodine stain on the body. So he says that's not a chatzitza. Because you have a stain, you removed it. That's in the context of a maka, where there's some treatment on the maka and that left some residue. So after you remove it with soap, all you have left is some residue that has an appearance, you can see it, but that's only chazusa ba'alma. That's ein bo mamash, and that's analogous to the soot on the hands, or the residue from the soot on the hands. Moshe writes on this village without Sidaim. Chel and Beis are Chaim Simchot Yod. Chel and Beis Simchot Yod. So Rabbi Frost points out that the Yo that the Mishnah talks about, the Yo in Shulchan Aruch, isn't ballpoint penning. It's old-time serious ink that clearly had mamashis that was very thick. If it get on the skin, there would be real mamashis. You just have a ballpoint pen mark or a big pen mark on your skin. That's not the Yo that the Mechaber is talking about. So Moshe is talking about the classic Yo, but he writes, Yo, as far as the Chassis Sifrei Netil Sidayim, so Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Netil Sidayim Kusam Mechalef, the Mechaber distinguishes between Lach and Yavish. The Lach is the Chotzes. Moshe says that even if there's some residual appearance of black, so if it's Yavesh, in principle, that's the chatzitza. So you have to wash it off. But even after you wash it off, there's a little bit of residual appearance. That's not considered be'en, and that's not chotzitz. So makeup, most of the poskim that address it, aside from the other issues involved in makeup, the likelihood that if you go into the mikveh wearing makeup, that some of it may come off by the time that the tefillah chal, in which case you can't argue that's lenoy anymore because it's uneven. But leaving that aside, poskim seem to refer to makeup as being something that has mamashes. I guess there, if you have makeup and you run your finger over it, some of it will possibly come off. So maybe that's why that's more mamashis than hair dye or some of these other examples that Paul can talk about. Nail polish, many of the persons that talk about it refer to nail polish also as having mamashis, but that may depend on the type of nail polish. Rav Avadya has a line when he talks about nail polish in Yeredeya, Chelik Beis, Simen Yugimel, Yeredeya, Chelik Beis, Simen Yugimel, that it's a Niklaf Kdiyar Dak. That it peels off like paper, like some light paper. So that may be a certain quality, and it may depend on the type of nail polish, if it does peel off that easily or not. In the Shari Tefillah, it sounds like he's talking about certain kinds of nail polish that would be considered chazusa ba'alma. So it may depend on the quality of the product. But it seems that at least there's a working definition of mamashis, what Nissen Krellis has, that if it's something that you feel is being somewhat raised or different from the rest of the skin, then that would be considered having mamashis, and if it doesn't have any feel to it, that would be chazusa ba'alma. Okay. We ended up off last time talking about the Gemara in the end of Perek Dam Chatas in Zvachim on Tzadikas Mebeis. The Gemara discusses Chazisas in the context of a beged that you're being tovel after having come in contact with Dam Chatas, which is Ton Kibas. So the Gemara there says that if you have a if you have a kesem of dam on the beged, that's chotzes, unless you're a tabach. If you have a real kesem, a real revav, a stain, that's chotzes, unless you're a moche revavim. And then the Gemara has a new bidul ishita. Let's say you have two professions. You're a shochi by day and a stain dealer by night, and you have both kinds of stains, the dam and the revav. Is that chotzes or not? Do we say that's considered the norm, and Eino Makbid, even if you have two strikes against you, and that Gemara leaves as an Ibaidel Ifshita. And we noted that the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, that in Netilas Yadayim you go L'Kula, we're talking about it in the Rabbanan, in Tila you have to go L'Chumra, and that's the Psak of the Sidrei Tara here in Sivkata and Lamed Dalet, and the Pshinus Gadim and the Magen Avraham there says that even when it comes to Tila, you could be Mekal, because Miyat Makbid anyways, Al Yichot Zeitz, Neither Rabbanan, and the Ramosha writes away also in the piece in the Torah Lahara that we assume against the Sidrei Torah, that if you had a professional that has two different professions that result in two different chafitzas, that is not two different samim, that is not makrid on, so we still view that as eino makrid and would not constitute a chatzitza. There's a shulish with Yaakov. Chelik Aleph Simen Samach Tes, Shvus Yaakov Chelik Aleph Simen Samach Tes. It points out that the Gemara in Damchata, Sin Zvachim over there, that's talking about a kesem that appears on a beged, and talking about whether that is a chatzitza for tefillah of the beged for purposes of kibbutz for dam chatas. And that's where you have this din of umnasa bakaf, that if someone is a professional and they're not makbid and having such stains on their body, it's not considered a chatzitza. Shmuel Yaakov thinks that that din, or that exception, is only relevant for chatzitza on a beged, but not for chatzitza al basar. That the standard for the threshold for eino makbid on a chatzitza on the flesh is different. And even a professional who doesn't care so much about having a blood stain on their hands, when it comes to chatzitza, that would still be considered a chatzitza. The exception of Urim and Shemnasa Bekach is only relevant for begadim and not for chatzitzas al haguf. And one of his rayos for that is the Gemara in Zvachim Lamed Hei, appears to elsewhere also, that the Shvachu Bnei Aaron Sheyachu Adakur Seimadah. Now, the Avoda, barefoot of the Beis HaMikdash, and that was Shvach, that they were walking around with the blood on the floor. The Gemara there distinguishes, the Gemara says, isn't that a chatzitza? And my answer is, Lachu Vein HaChotzitz. No, Dam is Lach, and because it's Lach, it's Vein HaChotzitz. It says in Shvach Yaakov, if it's a case that Uman Shemnasa Bekach, there's no problem of Chatzitza, then why does the Gemara have to distinguish between Lach and Yavish? Tape of lay that Eilecha Umnasa Bekach Godol means that this is what the Gohanim do for a living. This is the Avoda, this is how they're supposed to do it. And they're in a makbid and having Dam around because that's the norm. So the fact that the Gemara distinguishes between Lach and Yavish sounds like there's no exception of Umnasa Bekach. We see there are exceptions. That's only in the context of chatzitza al beged, but not chatzitza al haguf. Then he quotes a tshuva halachos ketanos, Shmuel Yaakov quotes, that a model who has damila that's dried on his hand, it's not a chatzitza for netilas yadayim, because shvachu b'nei Aaron. So just like it's shvach b'nei Aaron to walk around in blood in the Beis HaMikdash, so it's a shvach to the Moel that his hands should be dirty with dam mila, davar chaviv, and therefore he's not makbid. So Shmuel Yaakov is bothered by that, based on his understanding. That seems to be against that very Gemara, because that very Gemara distinguishes between lach and yavish, and it's only lach that's not a chatzitza, because lach b'esem is a chatzitz, as opposed to yavish. So he doesn't understand that tshuvas halachos ketanos. He's talking about Yavesh. He says, isn't that against the Gemara? Well, no. Well, if you understand, correct. But if you... So in the Shari Tefillah and Simon Mem Gimel, he points out that the Tosos is against this understanding of the Shmuel Yaakov. He says many other Rishonim seem to still know he also, that we don't accept the Shmuel Yaakov halacha. But he points out Tosos and Sukkah Vavim and Beis, their Tosos is bothered by Shitas Rashi that distinguishes between a Chatzitza I'll say on chatzitza on basar that we talked about at the beginning of the series of Shirim and Chatzitza. So Rashi comes out saying that a chatzis al basar is going to be chavis even by a chain of makbid, because the whole discussion there is only a chatzis al sayar. And then Tosfos is in Tzvachim. You see there that the dam is near Shaina Makbid, and Dam Yavish is Chotzeis. So I'm talking about Chatzis al Basar. But he does point out that there is a bit of Gilm in Chud Dachod that is Misayaya to the Shavuos Yaakov. Rabbeinu Gershom, there the Gemara says that Osek Kol Yom B'Dav Chotzeis, even if someone is touching a Dav Chotzeis all day, and you could be told you find the Chatzitza after emerging from the mikvah, you could be told that on the Dav Chotzeis that you're touching with, still doesn't count. So the Gemara's Rabbeinu Gershom's example of some of the Sosek, the Chatzitzas, is a sofer that finds Dio on his hands. So apparently, even though it's a Nasabakach, that's considered a Dabra Chatzitz. So, Stern Bank said that Fakir is not generally accepted. Halacha, we assume that the Petur, or the exclusion of a Nasabakach, is a Alaguf. Sidre Tara, in Sivkatan and Bays, is Miyashev, the Gemara of Ad Arkwasein Badam, against the Kasha of the Shavuos Yaakov. What he's saying is that in that context, that's really considered Makbid, because most people would not want to be wading in blood under normal circumstances. That's true, it's for the Avodah, it's for a good purpose. But that doesn't make it definitionally in a Makbid. So there, that's why we distinguish, we have to deal with the details of Lach versus Yavesh, because even though it's in the context of the Beis HaMikdash, that still is considered Makbid. But not to say that a standard case of a Nosabagach wouldn't have an exclusion of Eina Makbid if it's really Eina Makbid. That's how the Sidur Torah gets out of the Gemara. And again, the Shavuos Yaakov is not accepted Lahalach.
Considering Torah, but isn't there a simple fillip that the
But the sulfur is arguably is a case of nasa b'kach. The tabach also doesn't want to get dirty. That's just a byproduct of the Hebrew rabbi not to put all over it. Just it's a professional casualty.
But the
tabach
profession is a profession of getting
blood. A good tabach may wear gloves or may protect himself away that he's not going to get blood over him. I don't know if that's definitional to the Malacha or someone. The Malacha Revav, if he's careful, isn't going to get a Revav on his clothing. It just happens that may be a byproduct.
The reason for the din, I'm not really good point, but the reason for the din is because he's doing it there, because he's going to be doing it all the time.
Right.
But mm-hmm. The Kohanim do care, because they don't happen to be the walk in blood because it's there, but right. that doesn't mean they don't care. They're not in the practice of walk in blood.
Maybe. I could argue in both directions. I could say it's a goof if Chazal says Shmachu Shiyachu Shem Badam, so that should make it in a Makbid, because that's supposed to. You could argue in both directions. In terms of the definition of umnasa bekach, and at what stage do we say it's Eina Makbid? So Ramosha, in that piece of the Torah Ra, says that a professional, even if they're going to clean up for Shabbos, the fact that during the week they have no problem walking around with blood stains or ink stains, that makes it enough of an makbid. It doesn't mean that unasa b'kach is never makbid, that they would go anywhere in the world and meet the President of the United States with ink on their hands. It means that under normal circumstances, a normal workday, they don't care. But even if they're going to fresh it up for Shabbos, and they would be makbid to remove the stains before Shabbos, that doesn't make it eino makbid. That doesn't make it makbid. And the Me'iri that we quoted last time on Samach Vav, Me'iri is beferish, not the way. Me'iri is beferish that even if a person is going to remove something for Shabbos, that makes it enough makbid that you couldn't be nekel for chatzitza purposes. And the Shari Tzvila quotes a Maram Chabiv that says like that Me'iri. Okay, what about permanent makeup? So Rabbi Morgenstern points out that you may have bigger issues with permanent makeup, as was referenced last time, of Ksavas Kaka. But if you did it anyway, he quotes from Rabbi Yosha that it's not Chotzeitz. You might have violated Yisurim already, but once it's there, it's not Chotzeitz because it's under the skin. And that's considered like balua. So it may be a problem with kaka, but it's not a chatzitza. Rav Avadia, Taras Abayis, page Kaf Tes, writes that if people get this kind of permanent makeup, you don't have to be mocha. But number one, he quotes, according to many, we've shown him, the Isser Daraisa Ksavas Kaka is only if it's the Shem of Avodah Zarah. And according to some Rishonim, it's only an Isser if it's Miskayim La'olam. And he says that permanent makeup is usually Miskayim for 2 or 3 years, and now La'olam, so it may not be Ksavas Kaka. It's not a Ksavas Kaka shir now, and I don't know enough about the Metzias of this kind of makeup to talk about intelligently. But that's what they point out. Okay. Rabbi Morgenstern also quotes from Rav Yashiv. As we noted last time, even if you were to be nekel, for a woman who went to the mikvah wearing nail polish, either nekel that it's lanoi, and lanoi alone is okay, even if it's yesh mamashas, or if you want to assume that it's ema mamashas. But, as we said, if some of it already began to chip, then that's going to be a chatzitza problem for everyone. That definitely is makbid. They quote two psalmim from Rav Yashiv. Number one, a woman who had nail polish removed it before going to the mikvah, and then the next morning noticed a tiny speck that was left. So he quotes from Rav Yashiv that if it's not something that's really noticeable, unless you're looking very carefully, then that wouldn't be considered makbid, and definitely a pralansa in Baila. There's no need to redo the tefillah. He was also asked, you have a woman who, let's say, is attempting to remove the nail polish before going to the mikvah, and she can't get all of it out. So in that case, Rav Yosha said, better to redo the nail polish and have a fully polished nail than to go in as is, if it's going to be partially chipped. So that's definitely makbid. If you're going to fully polish it again, so then you have what to rely on as far as the definition of lanoi and maybe chasus of Balma too. So that's what he quotes Rav Yashu said in one such scenario.
I think
that would be makbid to only have, that's also makbid, to only have some nails polished and some nails probably also makbid. He does go from Rav Yashiv, as many other pasukim in this context say, that that the using nail polish may not be appropriate under all circumstances, and therefore not advised. But if someone did have it, so then you have to remove it, and if you can't remove it, then keeping it on is better than having it half off. Okay. Speaking of nail polish, let's go on now to talk about nails.
Yeah.
Permanent hair dye may even be better. Better. I assume it shouldn't be worse. Is that, I assume there's no mamashas on that, anyway, according to our definitions.
Right.
So it may even be better, but no worse. May also be a sneeze violation depending on the color. Mishnah in the Mikvot Perek Tes. So in Mishnah Beis and Mishnah Dal, there are two dinim. One in the series of things that are a chatzitza, one in the series of things that are not a chatzitza. So among the things that are a chatzitza, the Mishnah lists, Vatzei Shetach HaChatzipa, and if you have dough under nail, that's considered to be a chatzitza. And then in Mishnah Dal, in the list of things that are not a chatzitza, the Mishnah has Soa under a nail. So dough under a nail is a chatzitza. Soa under a nail is not a chatzitza. That's all the Mishnah says, no qualification, but take under the nail is a problem, so under the nail is not a problem. The Rosh, in Siman Kafa, of course, the Tosefta has a further distinction within Soa between if it's Keneged HaBasar and if it's Eino Keneged HaBasar. So if the Soa is Shelo Keneged HaBasar, the Keneged HaBasar would be the area of the nail that is on top of the skin, on top of the finger. And the area of the nail that protrudes above, let's say the pink part of the nail, that's Keneged HaBasar. And the white part above it is low Keneged HaBasar, at least the part that protrudes past the finger. So the Tosefta says that if you have Tzoa, Shelo Keneged HaBasar, on the upper part of the nail, that is Chotzeitz. If you have Tzoa, Keneged HaBasar, on the pink part of the nail, let's say, that is Eino Chotzeitz. Okay, so that distinction we don't find in the Mishnah, that the Rosh quotes from a Tosefta. The Mishnah just says Tzoa is not Chotzeitz. Is not Chotzeitz, period. Rambam, Perek Beis Mikvos Halacha Aleph, and Halacha Yudalid, does not quote this distinction between Keneged HaBasar and Shelo Keneged HaBasar. It just quotes the series of things in the Mishnah. But that's the distinction of Keneged HaBasar versus Shelo Keneged HaBasar. Says the Beis Yosef here. Sounds like the Rambam understood that the Tosefta is holding on the Mishnah. And Lalacha, the Rambam passes like the Mishnah, that there are no distinctions. So, Tachas HaTziporen, La'olam, Eino, Chotzeitz. And the Beis Yosef says that the Torah, who calls the Tosefta, must be assuming that the Tosefta is Mefarish the Mishnah. The Mishnah gives you the broad in that so is not Chotzeitz, and the Tosefta qualifies that that's only if it's Keneged HaBasar, but Shelo Keneged HaBasar would be chotzeitz even for soa. Okay. What does soa mean? What is the soa that we're talking about? So the pashtus is probably that soa means dirt. It doesn't mean literal soa. It means the dirt that tends to accumulate under a fingernail. And the reason that it's eino chotzeitz Keneged HaBasar is because no one's marked on that. If somehow you got some dirt under the part of the fingernail that's directly over the skin, over the finger, so then people are mocking on that, and that's why it's not chotzeitz. And that's how the Mishnah Berurah explains in Hilchos and Netilas Yadayim. Mechaber writes in the beginning of Kusar Mechalef, Tzarech Lizar Mechatzitza, and one of the examples is Tzola Shetachas Hatziporen Shelo Keneged HaBasar. Says in Mishnah Berurah of Katan Beis, what is Soa Shetacha Satzipor? And Hainu, Zua Na Satzipor Nayim, the dirt of the fingers, Shadarachli Kavitsam, that tends to accumulate under a fingernail. Avatsara Mamish, Afilu Kinegra Basar, Mistabra Shalal Chashim Natila, Matan Shabbat. So a Mamish, anywhere under a fingernail is going to be chotzeis, because similarly people are mapped on some mamish, even if it's negra basar. So the distinction between kenegra basar and shalok kenegra basar, that's relevant for fingernail dirt. But if you're tzala mamish, it would be chotzeis across the board, anywhere you find it, because that's considered a davar hamakbid. Okay, so says the Mishnah Berurah. That seems to be the simple reading of the tzala that we're talking about. However, the Baal HaShulchan points out, the Baal HaShulchan in Be'urim to page Lamed Hay, that there's a Rashba in Chulin that sounds otherwise. The Rashba in Chulin, Daf Kasayin and Aleph, that's in the Tila Sidayim Suga, that's where the Gemara establishes the commonality between chatzitza in teal and chatzitza in teal sidayim. So the Rashba there, Kuzayim and Aleph, Dibra Maskel Had Arminan, which is Betelse quotes, Dibra Maskel Had Arminan writes that Tsoa is Masrachas. And it's not Mehudekas, and therefore it's not Chotzetzes. So he talks about Tzoras being Masrachas, so it doesn't sound like we're talking about fingernail dirt, it sounds like we're talking about Tzoras Mamish. And he says the reason it's not Chotzetz is because it's Eina Mehudekas. So the way he understands the Rashba is that because Tsa is Masriach, you're not going to let it stay there, and it therefore it doesn't become Mehudak and prevent Bias Mayim. But, he says, according to the Rashba, if you have other dirt, which is not Masrachas, so maybe that would be like Basek, and that would be Chotzeis even Kenegra Basar. So maybe regular fingernail dirt, he thinks, would be worse, according to the Rashba. That might be more likely to be chotzeis. And according to the first way we understood, the distinction between negative basar, shalok, and negative basar is only for fingernail dirt. But so mamish is going to be chotzeis regardless. And the Rashba is saying the opposite. That so isn't going to be chotzeis because since it's masrachas, you remove it immediately and it's not mudekas. But anything else, it'll be chotzeis across the board. He says, even if that's from the Rashba, that's not how we assume, lahalach. What does he say in Shulchan Aruch? Sif Yuches. Sola shetachas atzipora and shalok kineged abasar chotzeitz, kineged abasar eino chotzeitz. But say shetachas atzipora, so we pass in that distinction between kineged abasar shalok kineged abasar light to the sefta of the Torah quotes. But say shetachas atzipora, afilo kineged abasar chotzeitz. And Batzek is always going to be Chotzeis, even if it's Kenegad HaBasar. Eza Shelo Kenegad HaBasar. Zesha Tziporen Odeif Ala Basar. So that which sticks out from the fingernail above the flesh, that's considered Shelo Kenegad HaBasar. Okay, and then we'll finish with the Mechaber Reis in a minute. The Taz quotes here in Sukkata Yerchas and Sukkata Yotas a position of Rabbein Natan. Shelo Kenegad HaBasar Chotzeitz, Kasha Beisilz, Bishem Smag, Bishem Natan, Shezeh Dafka Betit Hadome Lebatzek. Shenidbag Me'od Kigotit Shel Yotzer. If it's a very adhering tit, that's we have a problem. Avalo b'tit acher v'tzoa, but not by more run-of-the-mill tit that's not as adhering. So according to Rebbe Tam, regular fingernail dirt would not be a chatzitza. That's not the topic of the Mishnah and the Tosefta. But he says, we don't assume that way, definitely not in Hilchos Tzvila, perhaps in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim. Okay. Then the Mechaber concludes, if you chas, l'fisha einan yecholos l'chavei ma'nikra k'negad abasar shalak k'negdo, nagu v'lashem l'itol sifrenaya m'sha tzvila. Since it's hard to draw the line between what's k'negad abasar and what's shalak k'negad abasar, so the men have developed that women would cut their nails before tefillah, even if the nails are totally clean, to make sure that there's no, well, we'll see what the make sure is in a second. But because of this confusion as to what's considered k'negad habasar, what's not k'negad habasar, essentially the men have developed to minimize any presence of a nail that could be considered shelo k'negad habasar by trimming it as much as possible. So that's based on a Rush, based on a Rashba. And the Rama adds in Sif Kaf, when they offer the Karnagu Lutal at Sipranayim, Afilu im Siparin Akas Nisha Biyad of Atavla, Tzvichatvila Karas. Once this Minna developed, then if a woman noticed that she didn't cut her nails, then you have to do another tevila. And that's based on a Hagos Shari Dura. But here we have Machlokas, the Shach and the Taz. What is the thrust of this added chumra, if you will, or minag that the Rama records, at not cutting nails, even if they're totally clean, is on some level, the kuva would require another Tevila. The Taz in Sukkata and Kaf Aleph quotes the Lashon Lashari Dura. Im Shachucha v'lo yina letzi pranah ha-kodon tevila ein achot tzatzes. So if she didn't cut her nails before tevila, still not a chatzitza. U'bavad shelo yehei b'salchem tit, as long as there's no tit there. Nevertheless, it's commendable to go to the mikvah again. I have a concern that maybe there really is some tit there that wasn't apparent, that you may not have noticed. There inevitably is going to be some tit. And that's what the Taz assumes is the thrust of this Ramah, which is essentially a chumra v'alma. The whole reason for requiring a second tefillah, if you forgot to cut your nail, is out of a concern that maybe there's some tit there. But in principle, if you knew for sure that there's no tit, then in principle, there wouldn't really be any need to go to the mikvah again. The whole concern is that if you didn't cut it off, then maybe you might have some tit, which is shelo k'negad habasar, which would be chotzeitz. And that's why the Rama records this minig of going to the mikvah a second time if you notice an uncut fingernail after returning from the mikvah. Shach in Sukkot and Cafe. So he begins by saying, the MS, Chumra Zula, Nim says, Vishim Pesach. Where's from? The quotes a Chris Mandelblin. That sounds like what we just saw on the Taz. It's out of a concern that there might be some tit that was stuck under a nail, Shalok and Ebra Basar. But then he quotes a Ravan. Mil Baravan, Simon Shin Kavav, Matsasi Mizal. She has to trim her fingernails and toenails. Just parenthetically, the Pesach Shuvah in Sukkot and Yod quotes from the Chamudei Daniel to be makel on toenails. If you didn't cut your toenails and they're clean and you notice after tefillah, even if you don't know that if they're clean, but you don't know that they're not clean, that you don't need an early tefillah, because women are not makpidos on the cleanliness of their toenails. A shari tefillah across the river of Yashiv, that in places where women are, then the Hamud Daniel wouldn't apply anyway. But be that as it may. So the shakras and the ravan, so sweet after Sipani Devragla. The cave and the asida litlan chaitza hashta. Since she's going to cut them off, so that is considered a chatzitza. Is that okay? Mashikas of the Rav. They achar the parnagul litel at sipurnai and siyachetu acharis. Mashma. The time alam should be after shalonish or teitachas at sipuran. It's not like what the Hagos Shavidur pretty much says, and the Taz assumes is correct, that we're concerned that there may be some tit underneath. In a Hanami, if we knew Eliyahu Navi came and told us there's no tit underneath, then the principle wouldn't be a need for another tefillah. No, the problem isn't the tit, the problem is the nail itself. The nail itself is a chatzitza, because you plan on cutting it, or you should cut it. So that's called Omili Gazes, Kigazes, or Kalmi, Nato Kanato Dami. Kakasavavach, nearly. Afilu Barila Shalahayashim Tiklal, even if you know for sure there's no yid, Yesh the half Mishit Tikal Pam Shainus. Shrei Eko Mando Amri, Matsiparna Medesi Kotsates, Chotsates. Alkei Nira, Dehecha de Epshel Lavach to the Litval. And therefore the Shach says that even if the woman only discovered that she didn't cut a fingernail the next morning, still go to mikvah again. So the Taz says that if the night passed, so then there's no need to be machmir. That's consistent, that it's really only chumer bama. The Shach says, no, we're not just worried about tit, we're worried that the fingernail itself may be chotzeis because the omi ligazes kigazes dami, and therefore, all things being equal, even if for one sake of Ayla, even the next day, she should go back to the mikvah. Now, we should note, just to contrast that with the issue that Piskei Shuvah across from the Chasson Sofer in Sukkot and Yibayz. Chasson Sofer, some Kutsari Hay, about the Kalos that would go to the mikvah before the Chasson with hair on her head. And then the next day after the Chasson, she's going to shave her hair. So why isn't that a Chatzitza? Kala Omeid, Linato, Kinato, Dami, Kala Omeidus, Galeach, that should be a Chatzitza. So the Chasson Sofer says, "Ein kan beis meichush minig yisal tarihai," because kala omeid will blank on me. That's only because I'm right now. But if you know, not right now, you want the hair, so you know that tomorrow you're going to cut it off. But that's tomorrow. Right now you want it. It's supposed to be there, so that's not considered kala omeid ligazes dami. Just to note. There's a Sefer Truma. Sefer Truma Simon Kuf Dalet has the following line. Srichalato Tsiponaha. So she has to cut her nails. The Chainhu Minog. The Nira the Hainu Taima Mishumaha Tishatakasa Tsipranaya. Yeah. Cut the nail because of the dirt. Ava Mishumaha Tsipora and Shihubo Yosemi Dai Chutzla Basar. But the nail itself, even if it's long, also the Kosasa Barafahi. The chotzeitz, so you're going to cut it at some point, so maybe you should be concerned that that's a chatzitza, and near a tamzet. So the Sefer Truma doesn't think, even if you have long nails, Sefer Truma doesn't think that that's a chatzitza problem, even if you're going to cut it. Sherei sa'aros rosho, shegidolin yosemidai, ve'omdim li chotzeitz, v'lo ein regilus l'galchon ashas tefillah. No one has a chumra, forget about what they did in Hungary, that the married woman shaved all their hair off anyway. But so they're not going to shave their hair, but they have hair, and they're going to get a haircut at some point. So why don't you say that if they're going to get a haircut at some point, that's called Omili Gazes Kigazes Dami. And that would be considered an act. He says, clearly you don't say that. So why shouldn't the same thing be true for fingernails, even if the fingernails are long, even if you're going to cut them? But presumably, what the Sefer Truma is saying is along the lines of the Svar of the Chasam Sofer, that you look at what your current kebet is. Right now, you want it there. So you're not cutting the nail right now, even if you're going to cut it sometime down the road, just like you want your hair right now, even if you're going to cut it down the road. So for that reason, it's not considered a kebet, that's not considered a chatzitza. Yeah.
What
does
the Gemara say, the reason why hair
right, and therefore, why should that affect? In terms of what's considered kala omed ligazes, so lemaisa, you're going to get a haircut tomorrow. So I'm not sure if that makes a difference. I'm sorry?
Gemara says
I'm sorry?
Is part of the bottom.
Well, that's what you meant. Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Ah, okay. And that thing's not true for nails?
Maybe
I don't know. Okay, I'm still into that. I'm not sure. Good. Okay, so in the Shari Tefillin, Siman Kaf Aleph, he has the following explanation of the Ravan. That, again, the Ravan, the way the Shach quotes it, says that we're concerned about the Tzipor in itself, Bichotzeis, because Kala Omeli Gazeis, Kigazeis Dami. So the Shari Tefillah suggests that it's not Be'etzem that you're going to cut it, because that's essentially what the Sefer Truma says. You're going to cut the hair, you're going to cut the nails, but it doesn't bother you right now. And the point is that because there's a minug to cut them. So it could be that the source of the minug in Echonami is because of the development of the minhag to cut the nails, just well, maybe because they're concerned that there may be some tit that you're not going to notice, like the Hador Shari Du says. But Lemaisa, once that minhag is established, and you're cutting it because of the minhag, so then, Kol Ami Ligazes, Kigazes Dami. So if there's no minhag, so by here, there's never such a minhag. So then there's nothing to talk about. But once, whatever the reason that minhag developed, but once there's a minhag to cut the nails, so that makes it into a makbid, a kala omid gazak gazak. I mean, even if the only reason you do it is for the minhag, and even if the minhag is for some side reason. That's his explanation of the Ravan. And again, that tied into what we quoted a few shiurim ago from Chaim Ozer. Chaim Ozer's tshuva chela gimel simla gimel, that the women that refuse to go to the mikvah, if you would make them cut their nails, but why not keep the taras and mishpacha otherwise? So push comes to shove. Chaim Ozer said you could be mekel, and one of his points was that this chumrah of the Ravan be concerned about kol omid gazik gazadam, it doesn't apply to these women that have no such calculation. They're not planning on cutting their nails. So Chaim Ozer was willing to look the other way, not to paskin proactively that they could, but not to be melchem. Ravan is also mekel. In Chelik Beis Yardei Yogimel, Chelik Beis Yogimel. So he also talks about what we discussed, whether you say Baladait in these situations, but he points out that this fashion you had Miyamim kind of long nails. Like you have the reference in the Ramban by Yifas Sowar, that the norm was for women to have long nails and to put nail polish on them. So absent of, if not for the minhag, so then there wouldn't be any kapeda per se, and objectively, if not considered kala omid omili gazes. So, Lamaisa, if a woman went to the mikvah and discovered afterwards that she had not cut a nail or not cut nails, but there's no dirt there. So, the Bali Yishalchan writes in Sifkat and Kuf Ben Vav that we pass in like it has, that if Lansa Yisal Baila, and she realizes the next morning that she forgot to cut a nail, then you don't have to go to the mikvah again. That in principle, the Siddur Tara passes like the Taz, even though the Chachma Sadim is Machmir like the Shach. And since the Ravan is the Sheet of Yachin and Rishonim, so Im Kfar Lansay Tzul Baila, Yesh Lahakel. In the Lech and the Simla, the Baal Kisr Shachan Aruch in Sifkat and Nun Aleph, he writes that this din of, or the distinction of Lansay Silbaila, isn't only Lansay Silbaila. Even if she was in the stock of Kola Baila that night, but the night passed, so then it's still, that still is a din of Lansay Silbaila, because it's Mechur Davar to then go to the mikvah, because you're going to go back to the mikvah, no one knows that you were not in the stock of Baila. So then that could raise concerns. So the Lachem Simla says that Lansay Sabayil Zadavka Lansa, Ladavka Nizdakka, even if the night passed. And the Badr Shulchan seems to go with that as well, because he paskins in Sifkat and Kuf Memchas. Let's say you have one went to the mikvah, and she noticed that her nail wasn't cut. But it's too late to go back. It's 11:30 at night. The mikvah is long closed. And she can't come back to the mikvah. So he says that's essentially the din of Lansay Silbaila. So he's assuming that if she waited till the next morning, even if Lona is Daka Labaila, so we say, yeah, she doesn't go to the mikvah again. So what difference does it make? She can't go to the mikvah tonight anyway. So what difference does it make to tell her to wait till the next morning if we'll be making for the same reason when you get to the next morning? And Rabbi Fur seems to endorse this as well. The Piskei Das goes from Rabbi Yashiv that he was machmir that no, the kula of Lansay Silbaila was dafnis dakaka, but even if the night passed, below Lansay Silbaila still would go back to the mikvah. So Rabbi Willig assumes la halacha, at least in the context of Tzipor Na'im here, that in principle, if the night passes, even if it's lol on Seisel Baila, there's what to be nekel about. But if even if it's 11 o'clock at night, and the woman discovers that there's a nail that wasn't cut, so even the mikvah's closed, it might be appropriate to go to the rabbi and have the rabbi have the mikvah open. Meaning, on the one hand, Ikar Adin, there's what to be mekel about. On the other hand, Rabbi Willow pointed out, you don't want people to have the to think that you know, these are trivial things that you don't have to be concerned about. If you're going to be mekel now, not to go back, so then women may not take things seriously in the future. So you have to know who the shower is, what the context is, what the circumstances are, in order to give a proper psak. The other some machlokas taz and shach here is a famous machlokas about Leil Shabbos. That if a woman neglected to cut her nails or didn't cut her nails properly beforehand, and now she has a Friday night tefillah, what do you do? So the Taz, who assumes that it's really only a chumra ba'alma to cut the nails, Taz says as long as the nails are clean, then you don't have to have an achri come to cut them. Just go to the mikvah, because it's only a chumra because it concerns tit. So if you're able to ascertain that there's no tit, then we're not going to tell you to delay the mikvah. You don't have to call an achri and rely on a shvus to shvus. Just go to the mikvah, and you're fine. And the Shach is more concerned about the chatzitza problem. The Shach says, get an achri. Shvus to shvus. B'makom mitzvah. The Darkei Tshuva in Sivkat and Samach Gimel goes to Tiferes Tzvi, that if there is no nachri, or if the nachri isn't good at biting nails or getting your nail off in a way that's only Malacha de Rabbanan and only has a kli, so then push off the tefillah. The Taz says you don't have to do anything, just make sure they're clean. Shach says get a nachri. You know, if there isn't a nachri, so the Darkei Tshuva quotes an opinion, you have to push off the tefillah. I think Rav Schechter assumes like that, that you would have to push off the tefillah under the circumstances if there's no nachri. And you can't rely on the Taz, but you just clean out the nails. Rav Yashiv is quoted by Rabbi Morgenstern as saying, even if there is a nachri, you should push off the tefillah. Rabbi Willig assumes, and Iker Din, we passing like the Taz. So if a woman comes Friday night to the mikvah and realizes she didn't cut her nails, as long as there's no dirt and they're properly clean, she can go to the mikvah and you don't have to call in an achri. The last time I spoke to Rabbi Willig about this years ago, he said that he recalled one case where he had to have an achri called in Friday night to the mikvah where there was a chipped nail. So that was a potential chatzitza problem. But under normal circumstances, as long as the nail's clean, there's no real chatzitza, that you can go to the mikvah without bringing an achri, as is, again, as long as the nails are clean. Okay. On Sifkof Aleph, Tziporin Hamidildeles, Pirsha Mi'uta Chatzetzes, Pirsha Ruba Ina Chatzetzes. If you have a nail that's hanging, that's somewhat detached, so if it's a mir that's detached, it's a chatzitza. If it's a rov, not a chatzitza. So Beis Yosef asks, what are we talking about here? What's the difference between a rose and a miut? So that's two pshat. Pshat number one of Beis Yosef is that if rose is already attached, so then it's easy to remove it. So if you don't remove it, you're not going to try tonight. If you don't remove it, that's the same that you're not makpid. If you have something that's mostly already detached and you cared about it, so then you just cut the rest of it off. So if you didn't, that's the same that is saying a makpid. As opposed to if it's a niyut that's detached, so then you can't easily remove it. So that may still be a kapeda. And the second shot of Beis Yosef is that it's not really a function of the nail. That the nail itself isn't going to be chotzeitz. The concern is that if you have a davar hachotzeitz on the nail anyway, a separate davar hachotzeitz, and you're calculating the area that chotzeitz covers, so if you have most of the nail that's already detached, that's good. You have a fingernail that's partially detached, and you have a davar chotzeitz on that fingernail. So if it's rove detached, so it's k'ilu, it's already removed, and that davar chotzeitz on the fingernail doesn't bother us anymore because it's k'ilu, it's not there. If it's the miut that's detached, so then it's still considered part of the body, and then that's a chotzeitz. So probably the second reason to be self-safe, in principle, if you had a fingernail that's partially detached, but there's no davar chotzeitz, then there's nothing to be concerned about. There's no chilul between rov or miut. In the first shot, that's not the case. According to the first shot, it's the fingernail, the etzem, that's a problem, and the concern is that if it's less than a... If it's a miut that's detached, so then that potentially considered a davar hamakpid. And the Shach writes in Sifkat and Kavzayin that since we're mafmir to require another tefillah, a regular case where you didn't cut the nails properly. So here too, if you didn't cut it off, it's no worse than another nail that you didn't cut, and you would have to require another tefillah. So that's generally the case. You know, l'chachilu, you definitely have to cut off any hanging fingernail, whether or not it's a miut or rov. If you went to the mikvah with a fingernail that was parish ruba, that hadn't been removed, so then you have to figure out whether you have to go to the mikveh again. So Yashi was quoted by Rabbi Morgenstern as saying that there, in Lansay Sobai, you have to ask a shiloh. Meaning that might, depending on how the nail is hanging, it might be more chomer than a regular case of a uncut fingernail. But low Lansay Sobai, it's definitely no worse than an uncut fingernail. And you would have to go to the mikvah again. Okay. So we'll